Okay, now start.
Today is September 23rd, 2009, in the Amelia Island Museum of History, Fernandina Beach, Florida. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We are interviewing Stephen A. Voth, who was born on January 26, 1941, in Lewiston, Indiana. My name is
Idaho.
Okay.
That's all right. Well, this is right. Recording. That's fine. Okay. We're still on.
Still on?
Yeah.
State Lewiston, Idaho. My name is Edgar Johnson, and I will interview the subject on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Frank Reitinger, who will operate the equipment. I will now begin the interview. Stephen, what was your period of service?
From March of 58 to January of 62.
And which conflicts did you serve in?
Well, I was in during the Vietnam War, but I did not go to Vietnam.
Okay. And also, you were in then during the Cold War.
I was in during the Cold War.
Okay.
Right after Korea.
Okay. Where did you serve?
Well, I went through basics in San Diego, Camp Pendleton, and Camp Matthew for advanced combat training. And then I was stationed with Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu. I was there for about 2 years, maybe a little bit more. I also served in Pendleton and attached to the Navy as liaison between the Navy and the Marine Corps for daily reports.
What was your rank?
I got discharged as an E3 Lance Corporal.
Could you tell us about the circumstances surrounding your joining the Marines?
Well, if you're old enough to remember back the 50s, the bikers and the greasers, I was one of those DA low pants and got into a lot of trouble. And eventually, judge that was a friend of my grandmother's, they kind of convinced me to go into the Marine Corps. It was that or the other choice I just didn't like. So, and I'd already done 2 years in form school, and that was somewhat of a private problem at the time.
So were you a biker before you went in?
Yeah, but that and the old hot rods cruising the streets back in the 50s, just like you see in the movies today.
Okay. It must have been a big shock going from being a biker to Marine boot camp.
I don't think that's the right word. I'll tell you, my first night in Marine barracks, I just got the hell beat out of me. And I mean, literally got the hell beat out of me. And after that, I just figured if I can keep them from knowing my name, don't remember my name, I'm going to get out of this. They can't kill me. Anyway, I hoped they wouldn't kill me. So I ended up being able to finish. There was 124 of us started in this company, 224, and I finished with the original company, and there was about 60 of us left to graduate on into combat training.
So, I take it you considered the training and boot camp to be a little rigorous?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's probably the best thing that ever really happened to me is I hold my stay in the Marine Corps as a pretty special time in my life in a special place. It was if you can get through it, you come out a different person.
Are there any particular stories or people that are memorable about boot camp?
Oh, well, you didn't have time to really make too many friends in boot camp because you couldn't talk to anybody. If you were in the San Diego area, we have what's called a grinder. It's, I don't know, it looks like about four airplane fields. That many nights we were out there at midnight with toothbrushes sweeping it down. But, that sort of thing you kind of don't forget.
Aside from sweeping the grinder, are there any other stories you really...
Well, after boot camp, there's not a lot in boot camp that there's really talk about because it was just 24/7 discipline and study and exercise. If you weren't running someplace, you were running in place to get someplace. And, then you were running in place because you were there, but they weren't ready for you, so you kept running in place. And for a breakup, they'd let you do push-ups and they really changed the tones of a lot of bodies.
Okay. So after boot camp, you went to advanced combat training?
Yes, in Camp Matthews, yes.
Okay. What was that like?
That was the rifle range for qualification, and that was pretty good, but it was more into the squad procedures and just... by the book, military tactics and what to do when you're supposed to. Mm-hmm.
Any stories or experiences that stand out in your mind?
About Matthews and about advanced combat training? We had one kid killed, and we were on a 6x, one of these trucks like this, with some heavy equipment on the back of it, and he was standing between the equipment and the cab as we started a decline down a hill, and the machinery broke loose and kind of squashed him between the cab and the machinery. And, that's rememberable.
How about rifle qualifications? What did you remember what you shot?
I was never really a good shot because I didn't grow up in a world with fathers, and I was not a hunter or a highly sportsman. I mean, found I did best with the 30 caliber machine gun or the BAR, and it gave me a wider scope of fire field. And, I carried those around quite a while.
Okay. Where did you go after you left Camp Matthews?
When I left Matthews, we came to San Francisco for staging. I was lucky enough to draw Hawaii. And I was listening to all the places these people are going, and I'm just thinking, God, don't send me there. Don't send me there. Actually, one of them was Nam. And I drew orders for communications in Kaneohe Bay with the brigade headquarters, so that meant that I wasn't in the field a whole lot because we were the brigade headquarters, 4th Marines, and 1st Marine Brigade. There's a lot of stuff in Matthews, and as I'm thinking here, Camp Matthews and Pendleton, when I was in that area, after we got a boot camp, we used to have these big black Cadillac, our back limousines that the Mexicans would pick us up in and take us to Tijuana. And they'd pick you up at the gate and the base, and they'd take you down to Tijuana, and they leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you better be there. And then if you wanted to just go back down the next day, you could. But it was like $15 round trip from Camp Pendleton to Tijuana. And then they stopped us from wearing uniforms in outside of the, or in Mexico, which I believe is the same way now, because we're too much of a target. I mean, it's not like you couldn't recognize some guy with a bald head and spit-shine shoes and blue jeans. They pretty much stand out.
Are there any stories you can repeat from some of your escapades?
I can repeat a lot of them, but... It was always the stories coming back. I think when the cabs were coming back, most of the stories we heard from the guys were probably what they really wanted to do, but isn't actually what really happened. But it was a great growing experience. It was.
Okay. Now, before you left San Francisco to go to Hawaii, did you get a chance to go home?
Yes, I did. I got a leave. I can't remember if it was 2 weeks or three. Doesn't recall.
How did your relatives and friends react to you?
Well, I got in a fight with a couple of my good friends when I got back, and a couple of them jumped me from the back one day when we were just walking down the street. And anyway, after it was over, they said, "We just wanted to see what you learned in the last 8 months." So, all fared well with me on that issue. But my friends respected me. I had some other friends that followed me into the Marine Corps, and a few of them were on the wall. But I was really surprised that my peers at the time kind of took it as a respectful thing to have done and not a stupid thing to have done. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't made for college. And, so you got only a couple places to go and pump gas the rest of your life or get in trouble in one of the two.
What did your grandmother think about you?
My grandmother? My grandma, she was, well, they were all pretty glad to get me out of the house. that's the truth. I was always a problem and kind of the guy that always got the bedroom down in the basement with the sheets hanging up to divide and make a wall, you know. And so I suppose there was times that they missed me more, but I pretty much left home when I was 14. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, once you got to Hawaii, what was it like?
Well, this was really kind of funny. My uncle, Lieutenant Commander Briggs, happened to be stationed with the Blue Angels. He's the flag commander of the Blue Angels at the naval base in Hawaii. And I remember I got there, and my aunt sent my uncle. And I'm in receiving barracks, and they can come in and call my name. And, of course, I'm still kind of a boot, and I'm running up and rather worried about what I did wrong. Who remembers my name? I must have done something. And it was really kind of embarrassing because it was my uncle and my aunt. They came in and got the officer of the day to release me into custody for the weekend, and kind of gave me special treatment that weekend, and they had a home in Waianae, and so that was my first really memorable event when I hit Hawaii, was the fact that I got an escort to the gate to be picked up by my uncle. So,
So did any of your friends from basic training or advanced combat training go with you to Hawaii?
Actually, there was maybe 10, 20 of us that all drew into the 2500 and 2531 MOSs, which was voice or CW communications. Mm-hmm. We actually even had typewriters back then. You know,
so. Mm-hmm. So, what was the food like while you were in the Marines?
All I remember is shit on the shingle. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And once a week, once every couple of weeks, if you stood in line long enough, they'd cook, give you fresh eggs. You could actually stand in line and wait for them to cook a couple of eggs the way you wanted them. But it was, you know, when you're cooking for a few thousand people, you just kind of get what comes on the metal tray.
Mm-hmm. How did the food you were getting compare with what you'd gotten at home?
Actually, it was probably a better diet. I know I gained quite a few pounds, and I was, and I came out of boot camp. After about 8 months, I was actually grown 2 inches, and had put on a considerable amount of weight, all solid. But I barely made the weight factor when I first enlisted. So. I think I'm eating a lot of bananas, so I make the weight. Bananas put weight on you.
What did you enjoy most about being in the Marines?
The obvious answer would probably be getting out. Now, the thing I enjoyed most about the Marines is you didn't have to prove yourself to anybody but yourself. You know? Mm-hmm. And you never got in trouble. I mean, you could get in trouble, but you never got in trouble because somebody always had your backside. Mm-hmm. And it's a real secure feeling. You know, we got in a few altercations with civilians, and no matter what, if you were just walking by and you were a Marine, all of a sudden you were still in it. You know, 'cause you, it's not who's right or wrong; it's if you're a Marine or not. You know.
Okay. So it sounds like you had some experience with being in a few altercations. Any memorable ones?
I was in Pasadena after I had left Conway Bay. I was in Pasadena seeing a friend of mine from high school, and I was walking down the street, and I was taking a shortcut, and it was the Nazarene College, and I really kind of remember this. So Nazarene, I didn't know what it was. I was just taking a shortcut across the parking lot, and this guard came up and said, you know, you can't be on this property or whatever. And I guess I must have gave him some lip. Anyway, some people started yelling out the window, hey, Charlie, do you need any help? And I remember this watchman had this really big, long, heavy flashlight. So a couple of guys come piling out of the windows, and it was the football team for the Nazarene College there in Pasadena. And they ended up subduing me, but the next morning when we were in court, they were all there. I never intended to hurt anybody, but two guys got a broken arm, and the night watchman, I took his flashlight and kind of laid him out with that, and then as the guys came out that window, I was just hitting them with them. There was about a half a dozen guys wearing bandages and casts, and obviously it was Monday morning, so I was obviously absent without leave. And so I remember the judge thought it was kind of funny because I was just by myself, and he said to the football team, he says, do you mean it actually took all you guys to get him to come in here? And then he goes, you know, Corporal Volth, I'm going to tell you what. He goes, I know the military is going to give you more punishment than anything I could in the civil court. So consider yourself released, and you better report back to base. And that was it. They just cut me loose. I remember that on several occasions.
And what did happen to you when you got back to base?
Actually, not much. They wanted to know how I did. I said, well, I'm here, I'm okay. And they said, well, we have to investigate to see if there's going to be any lawsuits. And that was it. We filed charges. I just, that was it. I mean, I never missed a liberty. Probably if I would have lost, they would have given me worse than. If I was on the short end, I'm sure I would have gotten a lot more trouble by the that's when I was part of recon and communications for the brigade headquarters.
Okay. What did you enjoy least about being in the Marines?
Yeah, this is going to sound kind of funny. Probably the thing I enjoyed the least about being in the Marine Corps. You know, this really sounds strange. It's probably getting out. You know, because one day you're taken care of for 4 or 5 years, and you just have to do what they tell you. you know, and they feed you. It's like a pretty good deal. And one day you wake up and you walk off the base and that's it. You got what money you got in your pocket and that's it. And it's a real horrible feeling. Where do I go now? I didn't have anywhere to go when I went in. You know, now I'm mm-hmm. out and where do I have to go? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went back to Seattle and I was made very clear, very short period of time that it wasn't going to work out for me to live with anybody in Seattle. So,
what were your thoughts about staying in?
My thoughts about staying in were because I actually really had never had as I never felt as safe or as secure as I did in the Marine Corps. I mean, it sounds kind of strange, but mm-hmm. you know, you got a company of 100-some guys that got your back. You know, mm-hmm. it's a whole different story than going out and getting busted for stealing some broken-down Chevy. Yeah.
Why did you decide to leave the Marines?
Actually, I wanted to go to college, and I enrolled in college in Oceanside, California, and because I had a very bad education, I actually dropped out. I got kicked out of public schools in the 8th grade, but I enrolled in the Oceanside Junior College, and I never really knew what I wanted to do. I just had a big list of things I didn't want to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Places I didn't want to be, situations I didn't want to get into. And, this kind of was the motto of what I did with my life is I never knew what I wanted. I just knew you open two doors and one of them doesn't work out, you better close it and go through the other one and a bigger.
Mm-hmm. Now, after you were, when you were at Conoco Bay, were there any particular deployments you went on that were?
Well, we mounted out for Lebanon. I think it was in 59. And I was with brigade headquarters and recon. And so we were not running ashore on the beach that night when the press was there with all the floodlights and the lounge chairs. And the bottom line is we actually never went ashore. I was just offshore. That's about as close as I got to actual combat, and this one picture that I had shown you, this is the era of Lebanon, but this was actually, as I sat and talked to you about it, because I just found this morning, this is after we got more involved in the war. Mm-hmm. And they used us for training, and this was on Kauai because of the jungle atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And we trained boots on 30 caliber and 50 caliber machine guns hanging out of an airplane, mm-hmm. scraping the ground like the guys did so much over there. And that's where I spent my last possibility of ever getting in. Combat. Mm-hmm. And,
okay. So the only time you deployed was really to Lebanon?
Lebanon, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So did you enjoy the time in Hawaii?
Who wouldn't? I mean, we had commonly known every year as co-ed season. You know, the young co-eds come over from the mainland to take a summer course at college and downtown Honolulu and Waikiki Beach, and that was free game for the ones that weren't worried about chasing the girls.
Yeah, that's right. You would have been 20, 21 at that time.
20, I guess. Yeah, about 20. Okay. 20, yeah.
So you looked forward to co-ed season.
Oh. As a matter of fact, I was going through some papers from last night, and I had a pack of pictures about this size that they give
the wallet size,
that they, you know, the kids get out of college and stuff. I had about a dozen of those of these different girls that I They had met in the islands, and they had all written me a note on the back of it over the my year and a half or 2 years there, and some of it was pretty funny. And my wife thought it was real funny. And she goes, "You know, that's really pretty neat. You ought to show these to your grandson and your granddaughter, because obviously the girls liked you from what they said."
Okay. Any other memorable aspects of Hawaii?
That we weren't liked very much. That's for sure. Obviously, from my stay in the service, I was there before it was a state, and then during statehood. And actually, the actual day of statehood, we were deployed on maneuvers. We shipped over and attacked the Marines on Camp Pendleton. In our basic war games.
What do you think was your best assignment while you were in the Marines?
If you want to take the easy way out, I liked my combat side of the Marine Corps, but I got to tell you, when I got back to the States, I started dating a woman Marine, and she was in personnel, and she got me assigned to 13 area dispensary, which takes care of us. Camp Pendleton's very large, and there's different. They're all numbered by areas: 13 area, 14 area, or whatever. And 13 area dispensary, and my job was keeping the daily diaries for the Marine Corps of the Marines that were attached to the dispensary, which was a ambulance driver and a attendant and myself in the office writing down what these two guys did today. And I had that for about my last 6-8 months in the Marine Corps, and that was a pretty sweet duty. As a matter of fact, I even got a job part time in town, bought a car, and got my own apartment in Pendleton. So.
Yeah. What happened to the lady Marine you were dating?
Oh, geez. You know, she couldn't have been that much of a fond memory to me, because all I remember is she was a woman. Okay. And at that time, that's all that mattered. We weren't judging each other's IQs.
What was the low point of your time in the Marines?
The low point, well,
the worst experience.
The worst experience. It sounds silly, but it's like I just haven't had it yet. You know, I travel a lot, and somebody asked me recently where is my favorite place, and all I could think of for an answer is I just haven't been there yet, and I can't think of a moment in the Marine Corps that I wouldn't live through the same moment again. I didn't like the abuse from the drill instructors, where they make you grab a bar over the door and do pull-ups, and then every time you started down, they'd see how hard they could kick you or hit you in the solar plexus. I mean, that stuff was kind of... But somehow they said that's going to make you a better Marine. It just... I never got that, but all that is really distasteful. And one of the bad things about the Corps is I guess you could call me a Marine vet, Vietnam vet, because I was in during Vietnam, but I didn't see combat over there. But a few years ago, my wife and I decided, we live in San Francisco, and decided we're going to fly to Washington, D.C. for 4th of July fireworks. So we left the 3rd and went to Lincoln Memorial, and then I went to the Nam Memorial, and excuse me. that really kind of sucks.
You know? Yeah, I got your applause. Thank you.
That kind of sucks because, you know, you see people there, and I always felt guilty. Maybe this is a low part in the Marine Corps. I always felt guilty because it's how many of those names wouldn't be on the wall if I would have gone over there, you know? Maybe some of my friends would have come back or something.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe your name would have been on the wall.
Well, that's what I was getting paid for, actually. Yeah.
But that's what everyone in the service was getting paid for.
Right.
I think in that era we all took our chances and knew what we signed up for. And it's not unusual to feel guilty about having survived when friends you had
didn't. Oh, hell. I still go through makers. My wife used to be my daughter's babysitter. And she's a little younger than I am, but we've been married 20 years this December. And for 20 years, she's lived with me in my nightmares. I still have them. You know, still have them.
Okay. Now, you were pretty young when you left the Marine Corps.
Yes, I was.
What influence do you think having been in the Marines had on your life?
I'm not one to sound braggadocio, but as I said, I really did not have much of an education. And it's like the guy that stands out there with a shovel, shoveling dirt. One of these days, he's going to own this company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was me, and I got that from the Marine Corps. And I've been retired about 20 years. I've got I've lost a lot of money in the market, but I'm worth about $3 million or more. Mm-hmm. All off the education I got out of the Marine Corps. And they're the ones that taught me how to do it. And they gave me the chance, and I did it. I mean, I did it myself, but without somebody really showing you. And I got a beautiful big home in San Francisco. I got 4 rentals in San Francisco, too. I got a beautiful home up here on the water. We travel all the time. I got show cars. Life's been really good. It's been really good. I can't tell. And it wouldn't be the way it is if it wasn't for the Marine Corps.
So you think the discipline and the life skills you gained during the Marine time in the Marines?
Oh, yes. There's no question about it. I would not be setting in the world I live in if I hadn't been in the Marine Corps. That's the truth. Okay. And actually, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I went in the Marine Corps, because I went down and took the test. Everybody wanted me to go in the Navy. Mm-hmm. My whole family's been Navy. My uncle, I told you, was a lieutenant commander and the mm-hmm. head of the Blue Angels, flight commander. And my father's Navy. My grandfather's Navy. My grandfather on both sides were Navy. My father's Navy. Everybody was Navy. I went in the Marine Corps because the Marine Corps had lower scholastic standings and I couldn't pass the test to get in the Navy. Yeah, the judge was still waving his gavel over my head about what I'm going to do with the rest of my life if I don't go in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the federal government has me. I was born in 1941, and when I went down to apply for my heart problems, and I went down to apply for my Social Security, and they had me down as being 38. And that's how much, being born in 1938, that's what Social Security and the government had me down as. And that's how much the judge lied to the to the authorities to get me out of the state of Washington. He'll be any age you want him.
How old would you like him to be?
Yeah. I signed the papers. I was 16, I think, when I signed papers, 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm. Have you maintained any kind of continuing association with the Marines?
I since I've been on the island, I've ran into some of the Marine associations. I've talked to a couple of guys from the Marine League. They've asked me to fill in for them at a couple of funerals. That's about it. It's always easy to walk in and sit down someplace, and if there's a Marine in the room, you're not going to be alone. Somebody's going to be there talking to you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you were or who you are.
But you didn't join the Marine Corps League and maintain...
No. I've never... It's funny. It's although I spoke highly of the Marine Corps, I've usually found out that, I got my ass kicked so much in the Marine Corps, I really kind of figured out that it didn't take me long to figure this out, that anybody that really wants me to be part of their organization is probably going to be something I really don't want to belong to.
Okay. What made you decide to move to Amelia Island, Nassau County?
Oh, it's just a fluke. We're thinking about moving to Costa Rica. And my brother-in-law built a house here, and my wife was out here on business in Orlando, and she said, you got to fly out and look at the beach out here. So I did, and I flew out the next day, and that was on a Thursday, and then we kind of looked at some properties, and I didn't want to build a house, but then we saw one that was under construction, and... So the next day, we were flying back to San Francisco the next day, and I just called up and bought the house. I bought it on the phone. And I wasn't planning on living here. I have a granddaughter, grandson, ex-wife, daughter, that all live on the East Coast, and so it was going to be kind of a family. And I shipped one of my cars out here, then I shipped another car out here, and I was commuting for a year, and I just left the house in California's open. It's got clothes in the closet. It's got a car in the garage. It's got a pool company that takes care of it and a gardener that cuts the grass. And if I want to go, the toothbrush is in the top left drawer.
Okay. I think one of the sayings I've always heard is that once a Marine, always a Marine.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add to this interview?
Well, I don't know that I would really recommend any young kids 17 years old go bouncing off into the Marine Corps. It just wouldn't. Life's not the same now as it was 40 years ago, and training's different. The standards of the Corps are different as far as honor and But it's not the leather belts and the brass buckles that you get in fights with. It's not. I meet young Marines that come back now, and they always treat me with the utmost respect. But then they always call me sir. But when we would go out and have to jog 5 miles in the morning before we could eat, we did it with 50, 60 pounds of pack on our back and combat boots and carrying a 9.5-pound M1 rifle. And we'd do that for 5 miles every morning. Plus, we'd do it again before we went to bed at night. Nowadays, the kids get Nike tennis shoes and sweatpants, and they can't be sworn at, and the DIs can't hit them, or they get in trouble. And I don't know that it's the same Corps that I'd want to be in today as it was what I was in then. I think it's just proud of what you did and where, at the time you did it.
Think it's easier or just different?
Well, it's probably not. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to say it's probably easier. Because you just... Today, if you walked up and smacked somebody around in boot camp, you're going to be called on the quarters. That's unacceptable behavior. It's different. You achieved what you achieved because you were more scared of what was going to happen to you if you didn't do what they told you than you were if you got hurt doing what they told you. So okay. You'd rather take the pain of getting hurt, achieving something, than you would the abuse from not trying hard enough. Mm-hmm. But, I think that's probably the biggest thing today.
Okay. Yep, I have no questions.
Any question you think I should have asked but didn't?
No, I don't think I cover the fact about where I feel guilty to that. I still feel guilty, too, about all the guys that that I went in with and I know didn't come back. Mm-hmm. So, and I still, because see, I could have been in 2 more years, and just the way it worked out, my enlistment was up. Mm-hmm. And they could have called me back, and for some reason they didn't. Mm-hmm. Or if they did, I didn't get the news. You know, I didn't get the message. Because then I was just surfing in Southern California after I got out. I was a surfer. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I guess there's not much more to
What was your career after you got, out of the Marines?
Sales. The one thing I was really good at was sales, and I started selling carpet for a company who had 8 carpet salesmen, and I never saw a piece of carpet in my life. And the only way that, the only way that I'd work for this company would be on commission. Like, they paid $200 a week, and everybody thought it was crazy that I would buy this. I would work for this company for straight commission off of the profits that I made. Well, they had eight salesmen. After about a year and a half, they had me. And they started paying me 20% when I started. Then it went to 24, 26, went up to 30, 33%. The very top they paid me was 45% of the profits I made. And like that guy standing out there with a shovel, I bought the business. I ended up financially very well. You familiar with Congolian products? Mm-hmm. I was the largest Congolian dealer in Northern California.
Oh.
I didn't have to have a college education because I hired those people. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to know, you know, what the answer is going to be. I just had to know who to phone to find out who's going to give me the answer. And I got all that basic from... It's not what you know, it's knowing that you can always find out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any last stories that you tell your grandchildren about the Marines that you haven't told us?
I never talk to the kids about the service. No? No, I don't talk to my wife about the service. Once in a while, we've met some people that have been in the same company I have, and I have a boat in San Francisco, and we were at one of the yacht clubs, and he happened to be in this era with me. And he was telling the kids that he says, my daughter especially, says, you don't know, you know, she says, you've probably been told that your dad was one of the best being in the Marine Corps. She goes, he says, well, I was with him there, and I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't that he was one of the best. He was the best of the best.
Right.
And that's about the only story I've ever told my kids, and that's because somebody else told them that first.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for the service to the country, and it's been a real privilege to interview you.
Well, I didn't do a lot of special stuff. I just was the guy there to put the lid on the can, I guess. But
okay.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.